Hi, this is Harold. Welcome to Transformation's weekly message and podcast. I'm glad you are making time for this week's teaching. I will have more to say at the end of today's message, but for now, let's see what God wants to teach us. May God bless your hearing, understanding, and application of God's word and message. Well, good morning, church. Great to see everybody. It's great to be here. My name is Pastor Harold Long. If you're listening online, welcome. And if you have our app, the sermon notes for today are inside the app under notes, so you can grab those there and use those to reflect on, follow along, but also to look at later and to pray about and think about as the week progresses. We are about to embark on a new and powerful journey as we enter to the heart of the gospel as presented by Frank Viola, who wrote this book a few years back. I know Frank personally. He's a mentor of mine in many facets. And actually, I'm part of a mastermind group for this particular book that starts in January. So I look forward to doing that with some other theologians and people around the country. But the gospel of kingdom, it's just as easy to talk. It's not just about personal salvation, I guess, is the point, which is how the gospel is so portrayed so often in our culture. It's just it's a salvation gospel. Give your life to Jesus and you're good, you're saved. That's the main thing. Check a box on down the line. And, you know, the big question around the table is, well, are they saved? Are they saved? Are they saved? But it's way more than just being saved. It's about living a transformed life. And this is what this book is all about. That it's about living under the reign of Jesus in a way that transforms everything about your life. Everything about your life. How you think, what you read, who you hang around with, what you do, everything, our hearts, our communities, the whole world around us changes if we're all the way in to live a Jesus-centered life. And our life should not look like everybody else's in the world. There should be lots of fruit and lots of evidence that we live differently than the mainstream world system. So we're going to hit some points this morning. And the first point I want to talk about is the gospel of the kingdom is revolutionary. I think it's important to understand it. Let's start by understanding what the gospel this way. That the gospel of the kingdom is not a tame message. It's never meant to be just a casual, feel good, give you some goosebumps type message. It's about revolution. It's a revolutionary message. And when Jesus came, he didn't come to establish Christianity or some, you know, soft and cozy little religion in the world. He came to establish his kingdom that would transform everything. And I think it's really important to understand the gospel in that context, because it's so easy to just, it's a great Christmas story, it's a great Easter story, you know, we can sing great worship songs throughout the year, and just lose the whole intention of this message in our lives. Excuse me. In Mark chapter 1, verse 15, Jesus proclaims this. You can see it there on the screen. This time, the time promised by God has come at last. He announced that. And the kingdom of God is near. So repent of your sins and believe the good news. And as we like to say here, it's not just good news, but the best news ever. Amen. So that was Jesus. That's right from the Lord. This is the message. This is what I'm asking you to do, right? Jesus wasn't talking about getting into heaven after you die. He was talking about bringing heaven to earth. Getting heaven into you while you're here, not waiting until you die. And so salvation so often is understood as a past tense thing. You know, you're going to die, then you'll be saved. But it's really past, present, and future. It was going on long before you ever came. The Methodists would say prevenient grace. And then you have salvation as you're here. That's justified grace. And then you have the salvation that preps you for the future life, which would be sanctifying grace in the life. It's a process. And the process began before you even said yes to Jesus. When he took the cross, that's when the process really began for us. So think about the American Revolution. Some of you are history buffs. The colonists lived here. We lived under the British rule. It wasn't always just how we are today. The British ruled who we were. And the crown dictated everything. The crown, some of you might have watched that series on Netflix called The Crown. Some of you might have been into that. But it's that power there, that power. Everything comes from the top down. The laws, the taxes, and the trade. And the colonists sought to establish a new nation here, where we're at today. in the land of the free, that they would rule with, and this is when the revolution began. And so the gospel of the kingdom is similar to that because it calls us to rebel against that, which is what happened. We had the Revolutionary War, and here we are today, right? But Jesus caused us to be in revolution against the world system and help usher in the kingdom of God and live under the reign of a new king, and the new king being Jesus Christ. So, you know, what signs are in your yard? What signs are on your social media pages? What bumper stickers are you prevailing? Is it the world system? Is it our revolution here? Or is it the gospel of the kingdom? Is it Jesus in your life? This new kingdom challenges everything. It challenges our values, our priorities, and how we live. It calls us to be radically changed to a new life. And it's easy to resist it because of all the stuff that's been in us our whole life. I mean, especially consumerism, individualism, materialism. We're just structured in a way in the West where stuff matters and what you think of me matters. To the point of what you think of me paralyzes me. That I'll change everything about me, how I look, how I walk, how I talk. I'll change it all just so I can be accepted into the status quo. And that's the world system we live under. And all of you know you struggle with that, and you've struggled with it since you were their size. You know? And about the time you start going to school and start mixing and matching with other people is when this process, this delusion of inequality, if you would, really starts to impact our life. And any kind of theological foundation we have gets really tested, even at an early age. Definitely by the time you go to college, it's tested big time. Usually before that, but you get shifted and then you get trapped into the world system, and it's hard to get out of that trap. It is so hard to come out of that trap and to die and live for something bigger than you are. Come as you are, as we just sang. Warts, pimples, all, bring it. But we don't want you to stay there. Whatever you're bringing, you got to die to that and be willing to get up and dust your pants off and go live a Jesus-centered life, which means a lot of sacrifice to the world. Our next point is centered around the kingdom requires complete allegiance. It isn't just some casual thing. You can give a little here, give a little. It wants all of it. It wants our entire allegiance. Everything. Jesus isn't interested in partial loyalty as a follower. This is when you hear that scripture that some of you will claim to know me, but when it comes time to engage with me, I'm going to be like, I don't know who you are. You know? You're not looking for lukewarm people. The gospel speaks big time about that. You're better off being cold or hot than being lukewarm. He wants every part of our lives. And we see that throughout Scripture. And so here you go. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. And notice the phrase, I think it's important, above all else. So if you did an above all else inventory of your life, everything, your money, your time, your house, everything, social media, pick it. What you watch on TV, everything. Is it above all else? Is it kingdom driven? And live righteously. And notice that phrase. I think Jesus is calling us to make his kingdom our number one priority above everything, our jobs, our relationships, and our own desires. And friends, that's hard to do. Let's be real. It's hard to do. It's not impossible because Jesus tells us we can do it. We need each other to pull it off. But if we're not doing it, we're not pursuing the kingdom, and that's a challenge. Imagine, if you would, a soldier who's pledged loyalty to two different commanders. Yeah, I'll follow you. I'm in. I'll lay down my life for you. Oh yeah, you? I'm in. Count me in. That's kind of like being a Raiders fan and a Chiefs fan at the same time. You know, it's kind of what it's like. I don't know if it's that bad, but it's close. You know what I'm saying? It's bad. It's impossible for him to be loyal to both. At some point, these commands will conflict. They're going to bounce off each other. In the same way Jesus tells us, and he tells us in Scripture right here in Matthew 6, 24, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. Materialism, individualism, consumerism, secularism. You can't be all about that and all about me. And that's just a radical message that most Christians miss. I mean, because, you know, I interact with a lot of different people, many that claim to be Christians, and their life doesn't look any different than most people that I see. And that's not what he's asking from us. The gospel of the kingdom is about choosing to serve King Jesus with all that we are. Our time, our resources, our very lives should be Jesus-centered. Are we going to do it perfectly? No. But there should be plenty of evidence that's what I'm about. I should be able to look at your life, pull back the blinds, turn on the lights, and there it is. What you're about. And if we can't do that, if it's just all lip service, if it's all talk and no walk, Jesus is saying that's a problem to live in the kingdom. A missionary named Jim Elliot once said, and I quote, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose," end quote. So when we give our allegiance to Jesus, we may lose temporary things, but we gain eternal life and we gain true freedom on earth as it is in heaven. So you may not have all the stuff, you may not have all the worldly things, but you're going to have peace. I don't know if you've experienced freedom from bondage. I don't know if you've really experienced that at a core level in your life. I have for a long time. You know, and it's sometimes it's fleeting. Sometimes it ebbs and flows. But for the most part, the bondage of whatever's going out there, I got loose of that. And that was a process to get loose of that. But it really is. I mean, you know, it's what allows you to step into ministry and do these things like this, you know, and just give it up, because, you know, the world system's just so temporal. You ain't taking any of this stuff with you. I got friends that got all kinds of stuff, yachts, all kinds of things. And we go visit some of those people and hang out with on their stuff. But then you sit and listen to them, and it's just that their whole life is consumed by it. That's all they think about. I don't know how I'm going to pay for this. I don't know how I'm going to do that. We got to go take care of that. We got to go maintain that. This is all the stuff. And you get lost in that stuff. And you don't think that's your master, but it really is. When you inventory it, if you take an honest inventory of it and look at your life and how much time, money, and exhaustion and everything you got that you give towards this big pile of stuff, it's easy to see what you worship and what you're about by how you live your life. Number three, the kingdom is an active call to action. So the gospel of the kingdom is not passive. It's not just a feel-good message. You know, like you just watch a Hallmark movie or a Christian movie. It's like, oh, that was good. You know, that really touched me. That made me tear up a little bit, you know. No, it's a call to action. Too often we reduce Christianity just to believe the right things. I believe them, but I don't necessarily go live it. But the gospel Jesus preaches requires us to not only do the right thing, but not only know the right things, but go do them, right? I mean, it's what it's all about. James chapter 2, verse 17. So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it's a dead and useless. So again, you can tell it by its fruit. You can give lip service all day, but I can look at your life and tell you what you're about in 2 seconds. It's an old saying, show me who your friends are and I can tell you your future. There's a lot of truth to that. Who am I around? What's it doing to me? And most importantly, is it okay? Really good question to ask yourself sometimes. Who am I around? What's it doing to me? And is it okay? Hanging around this people, doing this stuff, is it bringing me closer to God or further away? And then if you're really going to live a kingdom message, am I doing this? Is there others I'm taking on this journey with me to go live this life? The gospel kingdom isn't just about intellectual belief. You can study the Bible all you want. You can take a box of chocolate. I had this conversation with a guy several years ago. He's telling me, I've been doing this thing, walking this way, and I struggle, and I can't figure out why I keep struggling so bad. I said, well, do me a favor. Grab a box. Are you at home? And go, yeah, just go in the kitchen. Do you got like a cake mix in there? And he goes, yeah, why? Just go grab it. So he grabs it, and I said, now come back. Now I want you to read to me the back of that box. So he reads all the ingredients that are in the box that contains it, and then he reads the instructions. Here's how you do this. And he reads it. You turn the oven on at 350. You mix the stuff. Add a few eggs, a little this, a little that, a little milk, whatever. You mix it all up, put it in a pan. You bake it for 20 minutes. And when you get done, you got some cake. And I asked him, I said, where's your cake? You don't have any cake. You know how to make the cake. You could recite how to make the cake. You know all the ingredients. You know the instructions by heart. But where's the cake? Because you don't take any action. But the delusion is, because I know it, therefore I am. And it could be more deluded than that. And there's a lot of people walking around like that. They have lots of scriptures by heart. They go to church pretty legalistically every week, check a box. But then you go out and hang out with them, and you're like, dude, I mean, you know, where's the cake? I don't see much cake in your life at all. The way you talk, the way you treat others, the way you, you know, what you're about, how much you spend your time. This is the stuff Jesus is calling us to. Imagine if you were given some seeds to plant. I don't know about you, when I was a little kid, some of you know this, you did it too, but when I was a kid, we see some of the fundraisers that kids still do today, buy some popcorn or buy this or that. When I was a kid, seeds were a big thing. You go sell seeds. Anybody ever sell seeds? Now you see, I see some hands. I had to go sell seeds. And my mom, who just got into the insurance business, had her boss come over for something. I forget why he was there. He stopped by, or we were there somewhere, and I was selling these seeds. She always told this story, but I said, you want to buy some of these seeds? He goes, no, I don't have a garden. He goes, so I'm not interested in those seeds or something. I said, well, you need to buy these seeds anyway, because one day you might have a garden. You know, whatever. I overcame his objection. He goes, I want that kid to work for me when he gets older. But so I sold seeds. But just imagine if you got a bag of seeds, right? And you leave them sitting on the shelf in a bag. The seeds never grow. They don't do anything, right? It's the same way when you hear the gospel and you do nothing with it. It just sits dormant. So you can sit here and go to all the Bible studies. You can hear all the new Christian songs. You can read the latest and greatest Christian books. You can do all that stuff. But all you do is just leave it on the shelf. It doesn't do much. The kingdom grows through us, right? And out of us. It means we have to be out there carrying the message, sharing the good news as often as possible. It's really important. Matthew 25, 35 through 40. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will say to you, I tell you the truth, when you did it for one of the least of my brothers and sisters, you were doing it for me. And that is a powerful message. That is the gospel of the kingdom. That is what we're supposed to be doing. Does your life reflect any of that? When you look at your life, is your life about that? And it's important to be charitable and throw resources at it. But it's just as important for me to be engaged in it, walking in it. Am I doing that? And if you're not, I'm telling you, you're missing the boat. There is nothing more beautiful and more kingdom and more spiritual than walking shoulder to shoulder with somebody who's lost in some capacity, somehow, some way, and helping them get back on track, to help them rediscover life. There's nothing more beautiful than that. And that's what our life should be about. How can you do that with what you got going on? And this is what we're challenged to do. I mean, and if you think about it, I don't care what your job is. It could be taxidermy. It could be real estate. It could be whatever. It's like, in that context, here's my context. Here's where I work. Here's what I do. How can I use that in a kingdom way? How can I bless that? How can I bring people in through mentorships, through apprenticeships, this, that, or the other? How can I bring somebody in here, teach them a trade, teach them a gift, but at the same time, pour the kingdom into them? Could be sports as a coach. You know, and you're coaching and you're working with kids. How can I bring the kingdom into that? In a fun, spirited way, but also in a purposeful way. So everything we're doing, no matter what it is we're doing, we need to be thinking in a kingdom mindset. How can I use this, what I'm doing right now, to bless other people? And if you do that and you live that and you're committed to that, I can promise you what that does to your own heart, your own mind, your own life, it will transform it. It just absolutely will transform it. And it's powerful. The last point is the kingdom brings true freedom. And in the kingdom of God, it does. It brings true freedom. This freedom from the bondage of self. The freedom isn't about doing whatever we want to do, right? It isn't a license to just act a fool. You know, it's a freedom, but it is a freedom from the chains of sin, self, and the world system. that you're not in bondage to this stuff. Doesn't mean you won't bounce up against it, because you're a human being and your fatally flawed self will never be fully eradicated out of your life. So you're going to bounce against it once in a while, but do you have a process to deal with it when it happens? Right? I mean, do I have somebody I can call, be accountable to, talk about, what, you know, I fell short here, I'm struggling here, whatever. Do you have that? And if you don't, you should. But for the most part, these things don't own the title to my soul. They used to own the title to my soul. They were the master of my life. They dictated what I did, what time I got up, who I hung around, everything. And I'm not caught in that all anymore at all. So it's important. John chapter 8, verses 36. So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. Amen? What a promise that is. But it's not an intellectual exercise. That's an action. That's a verb statement. That you're engaged with the Son. So you just saw it in the previous scripture. Well, you know, when did we see you that we gave you something to eat or gave you something to drink? No, when you're doing it for other people, that's how you're doing it for me. This is how we advance the kingdom. Is it always easy? No, it's not always easy, but it's, if you do it long enough, you'll know what I'm talking about. It isn't like you go one time. People ask me all the time, well, how do you get people involved in corrections? I've been in volunteering corrections for over 30 years. I spent a lot of time behind the fences and cages hanging out with guys. And I'm like, you know, how do you get people involved? Well, sometimes I'll be around doing workshops on volunteerism. How do you get people? Man, we make these cool flyers. We do these workshops. We can't get anybody involved. I said, you want to get people involved? Yeah, that's what we want to do. Then I'll give you the math. It's 1 out of 3 for me. For every 3 people I bring across that yard and walk in and they share their testimony or they do whatever, 1 out of those 3 people, when we walk back across that parking lot, I'll be going, man, that was freaking awesome. I want to do that again. How do I get involved? And you get them involved. You put them in a position of service. You get them involved immediately. And it's in that service, it's that connection of serving that the magic happens, if you want to call it. That spiritual transformation starts to happen. So whenever I get a new guy to mentor, that's the first thing I do. I get them into service somehow, some way. Right? Get them plugged in somehow, some way. Taylor's a great example. He's at another event this morning, but I mean, he's a great example. Hey, can you mentor? Yeah, what do you want to do? Come. But I don't want you to come. I want you to get involved. I'm going to put you to work. Okay, great. How? Well, he's already. I got him going all kinds of stuff. But it's in that that changes his life. It isn't just come to church, hang out, come on Sundays. No, you come and be a part of this thing. And this is what this whole thing about that we're doing, this whole transformation. You know, this is what that's about. It isn't like, hey, just come to church, this new church. No, it's come and be the church. Be in the church, be in the kingdom, be involved in it. Have somehow, some way, in multiple ways. And when you do that, it's transformative. If you don't do that, it's just casual and you're not gonna get a lot out of it. It's kind of like this. It's kind of like it's like somebody has some blood pressure issues. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to Planet Fitness regularly, maybe 7 days a week for a while. And you go. You show up at Planet Fitness, but you never pick up a weight. You never get on a treadmill. You just maybe drink a protein shake and watch whatever's on the screen, ESPN, or maybe walk around, talk to some of your girlfriends who just come out all sweaty from the yoga class or whatever, the class of Richard Simmons, the greatest hits or whatever. You do that 7 days a week, but you never do anything. And then you go back a few weeks later, you think your blood pressure is like it's still high. You need to go to the gym. Yeah, I did go to the gym. I did everything you told me, but it's not working for me. You know? This is how faith can be. This is how your spiritual journey can be. Well, I went to the Joyce Meyer thing. I read the latest book. You know, I watched the latest Christian movie. I go to church. You know? But that's just like going to the gym and never doing anything. It's exactly the same thing. It's like, but your faith needs to be alive. It needs to be a verb. You need to be a verb. And so how can I do that? Well, if you don't know, ask. Get some help. You know, I'm thinking about how can I use what I'm doing already to make a difference in the kingdom. Well, you'd be amazed if you start brainstorming at the ideas you come up with. I mean, and it isn't like it's the masses. Just think about one person. Who can I bring into my mix? Rich is doing this. I mean, you see Rich doing this. I've seen it. I witnessed it. This is last week, and when he brought the people in, and they were here doing community service. He's got them working. He's got them think. Rich said, I should come to church here. That's exactly what they told me. And I said, you should come to church, but not just come to church, but be the church. That's the exact message to him. Come and be a part. Be alive like you're doing right now. That's what we're talking about. That's the kingdom. That's what brings about the freedom. And if you're not doing that, I'm just telling you, you're missing the magic of this walk. You're missing the kingdom magic. You're missing it. I don't care how old you are, where you're at, or maybe you've been casual for a long time, but it's like, here I am, here's where I'm at, what can I do? And there's lots of things to do. The sky's the limit. The question is, what are you going to do? It's not what can you do, but what will you do? And that's where the magic is. You want to live a kingdom, Jesus-centered life, get into that, and it'll blow your mind. Picture a prisoner sitting free after being in chains for years. I work with a lot of guys come out of prison, some of them with life sentences. Just was with one last night who had two life sentences, who's been out since 08. So that's the table right next to Susie and I. Ate dinner. I've mentored this guy since 1996. Where his life is today, it'd blow your mind. It's a storybook life. But when he gets out, just like this illustration, at first he doesn't know what to do with his freedom. You're free. Now what? He'd been in prison for 21 years straight. When I got out, I said, you call me every day until I tell you not to call me anymore. He called me on the way home. Hey, man, I'm on a cell phone. I've never been on a cell phone before. They're pretty cool. I go, yeah, they are pretty cool. And I said, but go home and enjoy your family and call me tomorrow. I've talked to the guy, heard from that guy every day since 1996. You know, somehow, or it's 2008 since he went home. So, but he's free. But that transition, how am I going to get a job and all this stuff, that's the impossible becoming possible. And that's just where you got to trust the process. God will move mountains for you, but he's going to ask you to bring a shovel, right? And not just to lean on it, but to dig. You look up at that mountain and go, this is a waste of time. This is a waste of time. And then one day you look up and the mountain's gone, and you're mind blown by it. You know, how's that possible? Well, it's possible. It happens all the time in the kingdom. But he has to learn to live in the light of his new reality. So I was incarcerated, now I'm free. So how do I live that life? And it's the same way when we come into the kingdom. It's the same way if you come and you just give your life to Jesus, you got to figure out how to live a kingdom-centered life, a Jesus-centered life. You got to know how to do that, and you need people to walk shoulder to shoulder with you to help you do that. It isn't, here's an instruction manual, go get it, good luck, chop, chop, report back. No, they need you to be engaged with them, right? And it's the same way. When we live in a kingdom, we must learn to live free in a Jesus-centered way. And freedom from sin and self-centeredness and the freedom to serve others is what it's all about. A.W. Tozer, famous theologian, loved the guy, said that, quote, real freedom is not the liberty to do what we want, but the ability to do what we ought, end quote. That's a beautiful quote. That's powerful. Think about that. So the freedom Jesus offers us, friends, is the power to live the life that Jesus meant for us, a Jesus-centered life. That's why we talk about living a Jesus-centered life all the time, right? And it frees us. It's what sets us free from that bondage, and we become alive in him. You catch anybody on fire in this faith, I don't care what denomination, I don't care what they are. Could be Jewish, could be Muslim, I don't care what their faith tradition is. If they are on fire, they're doing something. It isn't because they just read something. They're doing something. And you see it. They're out in the world doing it. And as John Wesley beautifully says, if something's on fire, people want to come and watch it burn. Right? Right? That's a beautiful quote by John Wesley himself. And so we want to be on fire. And you think about it. There's a fire. You think I'm driving down the road and you see a fire, a big fire. Wonder what's on fire. You know, if it's close, you're going to probably go drive and check it out. Or you're going to be in the newspapers or on the scanners. What's on fire? What's burning? But when something's on fire, we want to watch it burn. It's the same way with your faith. It's powerful. So as we wrap up today, this first message on what it means to reclaim the gospel kingdom, it means recognizing that Jesus is not just our Savior, he's our King. Does your life reflect that? It means we give him complete allegiance, responding to his call, right? And living the freedom that this true freedom offers us. Is that happening in your life? This allegiance is in the gospel Jesus preached. It's the gospel that transforms lives all around us, all around the world. Make disciples, transform the world through Christ. Amen? But see what it says? Cool. You've got to be actively involved in this. It isn't send out flyers, send out emails, make social media posts. No, you make people. How do you make a disciple? You walk shoulder to shoulder with them and help them rediscover life. And that's what we want to do. So let's ask ourselves, am I living as a citizen of the kingdom of God? That is your question. Have I surrendered everything to King Jesus? I'm talking everything. The gospel of the kingdom is calling us higher. It's calling us deeper into a freedom that we've ever known. If we come all the way in, sit all the way down and stay. Staying is the hard part in a faith journey, but also getting busy is important. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your gift of your kingdom and the radical love and freedom that comes from it. We acknowledge you as our King and surrender our hearts and our minds and our lives to your reign. Help us to seek your kingdom above all else and live in a way that reflects your love and your grace and your truth. Lord, give us the strength to take action, to step out in the faith and live as citizens of your kingdom here on earth. Set us free from the chains that bind us and empower us to bring your light into the dark places of this world. Holy Spirit, guide us as we walk this path of discipleship. Lead us in your righteousness and help us fully embrace the freedom and life you offer. May your kingdom come and your will be done in our lives on earth as it is in heaven. We pray all these in the mighty name of Jesus, our King. And all God's people said, amen. Hi again, this is Harold. Thanks for listening to our weekly message and podcast. I hope we have shared something helpful to you wherever you are in your spiritual journey. Just so you know more about us, we are Transformation Church. We are a church for people who aren't in the church. We are a Jesus-centered community made up of everyday people just like you. We refer to ourselves as Transformers, committed to helping God change the world. We meet on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. at our House Springs campus. We are moving and launching a new campus soon in Eureka, Missouri, scheduled to launch on April 6, 2025. And we would love for you to join us and be a part of this Jesus revolution. We also meet during the week in smaller groups called house churches, and that's how we make it relational. We regularly hear from people from all over who are engaging in personal and group studies based on our teaching, and we would love to know if that is happening where you are. If you want to connect with us, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Instagram, Vimeo, YouTube, and TikTok. You can also download our app for free and for fun from your favorite app store. You can find the download link in the show notes or on our website at www.transformerforlife.org. That's www.transformer4life.org. Inside our app or on our website, you can access all our available audio and video teachings and view and download our bulletin, sermon notes, slides, and discussion questions. It's all there for you. Lastly, if you want to learn more about supporting Transformation Church with your time, talent, and finances, and what it takes to become a transformer, please visit our website. God loves generous people, and so do we. So a gift of any amount of your time, talent, and finances is much appreciated. Hey, thanks for being a member of our extended Jesus-centered community. I'm glad we are on this journey together, walking shoulder to shoulder, helping people experience a Jesus-centered life, and discovering the kingdom of God.